This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I don't even want to play the theme song today, but I feel obligated. The Dodgers get thoroughly outplayed in games 4 and 5 of the World Series and are going to Toronto down 3-2 in the series. Sad times at Chavez Ravine, but we are back. It is Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, Lord Paramount, South Bay in Los Angeles, California. Brandon, you were at the game last night. How are you feeling? Give us hope!
I'm feeling bad. It was not a good time at the Ravine, Jess. We got out there pretty early. Not super early, but about 45 minutes before first pitch. You know, saw the pageantry, got some beers and dogs. Everybody's in a great mood. Plenty of Blue Jays fans out there, sold out, you know, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But Jesse, had an experience coming in the ballpark that would loom large in my heart, a foreboding, if you will. They were out of rally towels as I entered, and we just weren't getting rally towels. So we look over at the other gate. I'm entering through center field. They're getting rally towels, so we're walking over, and I hear this dad, you know, he's got maybe like a 5-year-old little girl with him. He's like, hey, can we get a couple towels? And they're just like, nah, sorry, you're like the 10th guy to walk over. We can't give you any towels. I'm like, wait a minute, dude. How are we going to get a rally started without a rally towel? So they're like, wave those towels, and we're just in our section just whipping that wrist around. I don't blame it all on that, but Jess, the crowd was immediately punched in the teeth. Beers were freaking still foaming, dude. Hadn't even taken that first sip yet. When an ambush 97 mile an hour center cut, center third fucking meatball gets parked over the left field wall. Boom, bang, the game starts 1-0. Not to be outdone, Vladdy, the best player on the field all series long, goes back-to-back, and that would prove to be enough offense to beat the Dodgers in 9 innings. And, Jesse, it was a brutal beating. The crowd was just freaking dead after that.
Yeah, you and I were texting, and you just told me how, like, the crowd just went from loud to silent, and the anxiety was there after 3 pitches. I mean, this game was over after 3 pitches.
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
That is just crazy, and a do-or-die. Or not do-or-die, but, you know, a pivotal Game 5. I'm going to give the Blue Jays a lot of credit this episode. And I don't, you know, so if, like, Blue Jay fans are turning into troll Dodger fans or whatever, that's fine. You know, we kind of deserve it right now. But I do want to get to them in a bit. But, just a terrible way to start the game. And probably, like, the worst possible thing that Genuinely, could have happened.
The worst possible thing. You're giving a young stud in Yesavage all the confidence in the world just to go out there and spin. And spin he did, just to the tune of 12 Ks, eclipsing the record set by Dodgers legend Don Newcomb for a rookie pitcher in a World Series. Strikeouts by a rookie pitcher in a World Series. Trey Yesavage now holds the record at 12, eclipsing Don Newcomb's at 11.
He was so excellent. I just genuinely, like, I don't know how anybody, if he's locating his pitches the way he was last night, it just, Dodgers were 0-2 all, 0-2. It's like they're starting every at-bat 0-2 all night. It was like he was locating perfectly, and, you know, the only opportunities that the Dodgers really had against him, sorry, I let you finish, was like when he kind of lost control for a minute and let a couple of guys on base. But he hit Freddie at one point, and then he kind of lost control. Other than that, he nothing. Like Teoscar had two infield singles in this game. Those are two of the three hits that the Dodgers got against Yesavage. Other than the home run by Kike, it's like it's crazy.
He had the whole team off balance. Nobody was taking confident hacks at him. Yeah. The approach just seemed. I don't know what the approach was because it didn't seem like they were able to eliminate any pitches, and it seemed like that fastball slider was just enough to just get him chasing. I was sitting, if anybody checked our story, pretty decent seats up the third baseline, and from where I was sitting, it looked like Will Smith and Mookie specifically were just lunging across the plate, swinging at these sliders, diving away. Almost reminiscent of a Yasiel Puig situation, but it was brutal. A lot of taken second strikes, you know, a lot of taken first pitch strikes, and it just seemed like they couldn't even run the pitch count on them. There was maybe one inning, maybe two innings where there was two runners on, you know, via a walk and like a hit by pitch, tails, little bleeder, infield singles. But I mean, Tommy Edman popped out pretty quick on one. I mean, but you can say that about anybody. You know, just so many pop outs and so many strikeouts, dude. It's just rough.
I want to say something about Edman. He does this thing where he switches stand. He's a switch hitter, and but when he's up against guys that have nasty splitters like Yesavage does, he switches to batting righty against them, against right-handers with nasty splitters. It's the only time that he does it. He did it last year against Tommy Canley in the World Series, the Yankees, where he had the nasty. He was neutralizing the changeup so that he didn't have to face Tommy Canley's changeup as a lefty, which I could kind of understand. But, I mean, like, when you look at the results of his at-bats tonight, like, I'm not saying it mattered because Yesavage was so good it might not have mattered last night, but, like, it didn't. Dude, Tommy looked bad in those at-bats last night. You know, I don't know if it did him any good by switching his stance.
Yeah.
And it's just weird to me. I don't know. Maybe they know something I don't. Clearly they do, but I don't know. It was bothering me seeing him take those hacks when he's supposed to be better on this side of the plate against the splitter. I don't know. I didn't like it. But to your point about them lunging, you know, to credit Yesavage, supposedly he has like the highest release point in baseball with his, he's like this, he's the same height as Glasnow. He has the same extension as Glasnow, but he throws from a higher release point. It's like he's almost throwing like from like behind his
back. Yeah, it's like 7-1 or something crazy. I saw the stat. Yeah, it's impressive. And look, there's nothing I love more than a good pitcher coming out and just beating some ass, but boy, it sucks when you're the team getting just smoked, right? This is actually, Jesse, this is the second World Series game I've ever been to in my life. Both have actually been game fives, and they were both losses. I watched the Dodgers lose to the Boston Red Sox in 2018. I saw Mookie hit a home run over the left field wall off a Kershaw. It was just nasty.
See, we're getting somewhere here. So basically what you're saying is like you should not go to World Series games anymore.
Absolutely. It is my fault. It's a financial decision I can really not afford. Okay. And it seems like we can't win when I'm there. So maybe the team can't afford to have me there either. But
well,
Jess,
ipso
facto, if I could have just gotten a damn rally towel.
That's crazy to me. Like, you know, that says to me that you mentioned, that is indicative. That is a metaphor for like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
That was some bad foreboding for the Dodgers.
It was tough. Game. They had Snell's number. I don't know if there's a AL East familiarity thing going on there.
Know, No, he wasn't bad. He got ambushed in his first three pitches. After that, he was pretty good. And the third run that he gave up, I know he gave up five, which is, I think, because he was extended longer than he normally would be, simply because Dave Roberts has nobody he can trust out of this bullpen
totally,
right now. And,
totally.
And so he had to try to get seven out of Snell somehow in this game. And it was just, what was it, in the eighth or the?
It was the seventh when the wheels started falling off.
So,
he gave up a couple of hard hits.
Yeah, but he got extended longer than he normally would be. And I know he's been amazing this postseason, so I understand it. I don't blame Roberts for that. You know, the third run, though, I think was where I started to get frustrated, because it was like, this is a run that we're giving up after Kike Hernandez hits a solo home run in the second to basically, you know, get the crowd back in the game. You know, gets the crowd back into it. And immediately we go to the top of the third. Pop fly by Varsho. I think it was Varsho. I forget.
Yeah, it wasn't a pop fly, but it was a line drive to right field. And it was hit hard. And just where I was sitting.
Was it a pop fly? You know, maybe I'm mistaken.
It was a line drive. It wasn't a pop fly.
Okay.
It was a hard hit ball down the right field line. And Teo breaks on the ball. And it's kind of clear he's playing a little bit too deep and he's not going to make it, but he's already kind of leaning to make a sliding dive at the play. And dude, to the point where there's a guy in the stands next who's like, don't slide. And the ball bounces in front of him, slides, hits him, rolls, and takes third on the play. If he keeps it in front of him, maybe it's a hard hit single.
No.
Maybe there's
a
play.
You're wrong, Grant. That was not a hard hit ball, dude.
Was it not?
I'm looking at it right now. It was a flare.
It was a flare, huh?
Yeah, he flared it. And I'm looking at it right now. Teo is charging in on it, and he takes the angle of trying to get in front of the ball to dive for it rather than getting behind the ball and blocking it from getting down the line. And that's why I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have been fucking screaming about this all year, that he does not have the instincts of a right fielder, nor does he have the range of a right fielder.
No.
And I love Teoscar Hernandez, but he does not belong in that position. And they're asking him to do something that he's just not capable of doing at a high enough level for a championship caliber team. It's just, I agree.
There was at this point, dude. There was even a couple foul balls that I'm like, Mookie grabs that, you know,
that's out,
that gets out of the ending. But I'm just saying, those are pitches that add up, that these grinding at bats that get Snell's pitch count up to 116. Yeah.
It costed a run, and right when the crowd had gotten back into it, I'm not saying that the Dodgers would have scored anything off of Yesavage in this game. I'm not saying
totally.
That. But you complete, like, it was a gut punch, dude. You have to keep them in, you have to keep your team in the fucking game. You have to,
yeah,
you know,
I can't believe they didn't mark that an error.
Just let the ball land in front of you.
I thought it should have been marked an error, to be honest, by Teo. They didn't. They just gave it a hit. But I'm like, that's at least a one bag error. Like, sure, let's say he takes second on it on a throw, but it's not competitive, whatever, because of Teo's angle. But to get to third, to start the inning, you know, with a man
right after
no
getting
outs,
back into the game, like getting crowd back in the game. Yeah.
It's just, you know, you can't do that to a good team that is, you know, winning every inning, basically. You know, that's how it feels like when the Blue Jays are fighting and they don't score. It's running the pitch count up oftentimes, or, you know, seeing extra pitches at least. And then the next at bat, it's a double for Varsho, or Kirk gets a hold of one, or, you know, you're seeing the bottom of the lineup, or, you know, hey, Schneider, he had a couple of good ABs at the top. And basically, they're getting production
the first pitch of the game.
Totally. But my point is that they're getting production up and down through their lineup. And outside of Shohei in game three, we really don't have any power threats, and our guys aren't making contact. There's a lot of swing and miss. Kike had a couple of bad Ks as well on sliders low and away. There's just a recentering that this team needs to do.
Maybe
they need to get a little bit more pissed off. But Jess, you've talked about it a lot. We're hearing other outlets talk about it. I mean, it's apparent Mookie's confidence is just shot, and it is a hole in the top of the lineup that this team doesn't seem like they can afford anymore. Do you think it's time that Mookie gets dropped out of that top three in the lineup?
Yeah. Okay, I guess let's just go to that now because I had that later in the notes. Let's just
I'm
talk
sorry,
about that.
My
no,
bad.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. Look, dude, the Dodgers made a big lineup change in this, and not a big one, but they did. You know, Dave Roberts made it clear that they were going to make a lineup change. They removed Andy Páez, which was a no brainer. It was time to go with somebody ahead, somebody that could hit in the ninth spot and potentially get on base in front of Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
Páez was not holding his weight in that regard, so they went with Alex Call, who I actually thought had some really good at bats in this game. He did strike out in a check swing, which was ball four, but he worked the count well. Like, I think that he's going to walk 50% of the time in those sorts of situations, you know. I think he got on base another time and also hit a ball pretty hard to the outfield. Like, I liked his quality of at bat last night. But they moved Mookie from the two hole to the three hole, and to me it felt like a little bit like they were afraid of hurting Mookie's feelings or something. Like, by moving him from two to three, if you're gonna make the move here, move him from two to five or six, even.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense, because then you're moving Freddie back one spot. You're giving Freddie less at bats in the game, and he's been your second best hitter behind Shohei in this series. And it's just, I don't know, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me to do that. If you're going to move Mookie at all, you have to commit to it. And he has to understand, like, nobody's feelings should be hurt at this point. This is the World Series. You're not playing well, and you know it. You admitted it last night. Like, something has to change. It's not like you're a speedster anymore who can get on base with, like, bunts and, you know, steal bases when you...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Do get on base. Like, you're supposed to hit for power, too, out of the two hole, and that... Like, he's hitting warning track fly balls at best right now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
no long balls this postseason, to your point.
And they're playing him down the line, too. They're playing like third, hard down the line, because that's where he got so many of his doubles in the Red Series. That's where he gets a lot of his extra base hits now, because he's not really smoking it to the gap anymore. So they're kind of, they kind of have him figured out. If he's not hitting homers, I think he needs to be dropped to six if you're going to do it at all. Otherwise, just keep him at two. It makes no sense to put him at three and then take at bats away from Freddie. I don't know. That just, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm just saying, like, even seeing the offense struggle so much, I've just been surprised we haven't seen any attempts at small ball, just trying to get guys on, give the offense, the defense different looks and things to think about. But, you know, maybe that doesn't really do anything. But it's just like, when you're starving for base runners and rallies, it's like, hey, swinging away isn't fucking working. Three true outcomes sure isn't working. So we'll see what they can do.
But his confidence, to your point about to what we were saying about Mookie, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen his confidence this low.
Yeah, it's really, really shaken. And, you know, what they say, Jess, you're just one AB away from everything being good again. But it does seem like we really, really can't afford to have Mookie not clicking like this. You know, I was loud about saying, hey, I don't think this team wins a World Series with Teo in right field. Well, there's no way this team wins without Mookie Betts being a spark plug of this team. And
dude, I had him as my World Series MVP prediction, and it's like, what a prediction that is right now.
Yeah, you know? I had Snell as my X factor, and I had said that he would need to at least win one game for this team to win the World Series, and that didn't work out. So we'll see what's gonna fucking happen tomorrow.
It's tough.
Jess, sorry if I'm jumping around again, but
I wanted to talk about the bullpen really quick.
Go for it.
You know, because we saw in two straight games now where Shohei probably goes deeper into the game than he normally would have been asked to in the regular season simply because of how bad the bullpen has been, how shaky mm-hmm. that they've been. And then it happened last night as well. So in both games, games four and five, this happened where Shohei and Snell get into trouble in the seventh inning with Doc trying to extend their outing, essentially, you know, trying to steal some outs to not expose the bullpen too much in these games, right? And yes, they were down in these games. Like, the Dodgers were losing both of these games, but trying to find ways to keep them in the game and not expose the bullpen at the same time. And both times, in Game 4, Shohei comes in the seventh, gives up two base runners off the bat, right off the bat, and then the Dodgers bring in Banda, I believe, which is normally the Vesia role, mm-hmm. and it leads to more runs being scored. They lose 6-1. And then, was it 6-1 both? No, 6-2, then 6-1. And then this game, Snell gets into some trouble in the seventh. You know, he's thrown like 117 pitches or whatever it was before they pulled him. And they bring in Enriquez, who was amazing in game three, comes into this situation. Can't throw a strike. Just can't throw a strike. Throws wild pitches. He's walking guys. He gives up a single to Bichette, and the game was over. It was out of reach at that point. Both times, Doc was trying not to go to the bullpen, and for fans getting mad at Doc for how these games played out, like, this is why he was afraid to go to the bullpen. This is why he was asking the starters to extend it, because there's just nobody to trust right now. And I think that, you know, as heartbreaking as the situation is, I mean, not having Alex Vesia in this series has really, really hurt the Dodgers. And it's showing in those sorts of situations where Vesia has been such a linchpin of the bullpen, and being able to find ways to, like, minimize damage in those sorts of situations. When he inherits inherited runners, he's really good. And they just don't have a guy to do that right now. And, you know, you can't trust Trinan anymore. You can't trust, Enriquez. He's too erratic. He's all over the place. It's just, they're in a bad spot, man. And it really, I can't blame Roberts for either one of these losses, dude. The Dodgers offense just has not showed up.
Yeah. I completely agree. You know, there's only so much you can do, right? You go to the war with the army you've got. So
this
is the pieces you can play. And when given opportunities to rise to the occasion, more often than not, this bullpen has faltered.
But isn't this like sort of a knock on the front office a little bit, who did an amazing job in the offseason, no question about it, but they signed Tanner Scott to this massive contract, who was terrible in the season, wasn't even available for the playoffs, didn't throw an inning, didn't get an out in these playoffs. Got this huge contract, the biggest reliever contract ever, or in Dodgers history, whatever.
Totally. And you know, I think it's fair to point out a bad contract.
They got Brock Stewart at the deadline when we knew this was a problem all year, and he wasn't even available for the playoffs. You know?
I don't want to sit here and pretend like the fucking Tanner Scott contract is the reason why they didn't do anything at the deadline.
Yeah.
No, totally. And to your point, you know, hey, you and I have gotten the same amount of outs in the playoffs as Tanner Scott. So yeah, I think that's one to point at and go like, hey, look, the Dodgers organization isn't perfect, and not every contract returns gold on its investment. You know, like
investing money doesn't guarantee
Noah
anything,
Syndergaardner. Exactly. So I'm not so quick to use this as an indictment on the ownership or organization as a whole, because let's think about the missing bullets that we don't have, right? We don't have Michael Kopech. We don't have Bruzdar Graterol. We don't have Evan Phillips. I mean,
an indictment on our injury prevention strategy?
Potentially, or you could say, hey, this Dodger team is easily played the most innings of any team in baseball over the last, you know, five, seven seasons. And what happens when you have some of those guys coming back? And, you know, hey, Bruzdar was
no,
a...
No, hey, was, hey, Otis!
Oh, no!
Sorry, my dog attacked my cat. Hey.
Uh-oh.
Give me 1 second. Sorry, continue.
Some guys just can't control their animals. And while we're here, I just want to take a moment to remind you to spay and neuter your pets. It was important to Bob Barker, and damn it, it's important to us.
that'll make for some good content right there.
Oh, I love it, dude.
Sorry, go ahead, continue.
But yeah, so, you know, and hey, I hear that, right? A lot of fans and casuals even say, hey, what are you guys doing that there's such an injury bug to your pitching staff? But, you know, guys like Bruzdar were injured when we traded for him. you know, Kopech was a converted starter to reliever because of, you know, spotty health reasons as well. Whatever, however guys get to the bullpen. But it's just kind of the volatile nature. But Evan Phillips was our closer. You get him healthy and, you know, maybe this doesn't really matter. Like you said, Vesia, Kopech, you know, Brusdar has been there on the highest stage multiple times, gotten the biggest outs, you know, possible. And these are guys that are missing and their void is undeniable.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's an indictment on the front office, but yes, to your point, I wish I would have seen them be more aggressive to get some, you know, back of the game bullpen arms or, you know, something.
Yeah,
just
not
something.
Asking, not saying that like they, you know, they spent so much money. It's hard to knock them too much, but it was just specific things that were like fundamental flaws of the team and the way it was designed, like Teoscar being in right field. Just it was obvious that that's not the right call. You know, having...
Speaking of, Alex Call could be in right field. Fuck it, dude. I trust him over Teo.
Yeah, or Mookie. You know, like they it's like Mookie needing to play shortstop. He was amazing this year at shortstop, but the fact that they needed him to do that when he's like one of the most elite right fielders in baseball, it's just they made this whole stink a couple of years ago about moving him to second base because he didn't want to shoulder the load of right field anymore. Mm-hmm. And now he's playing the most demanding position on the field. It's just like there are certain things that like are fundamentally flawed with the way that it was designed, and it's not. I'm not complaining as a Dodger fan. I know it sounds like I am. I just like I felt like there should have been more urgency about fixing those things when you have a chance to win a World Series. Like when the window's right here, we saw in the World Series last year how the Dodgers exposed the Yankees' defense, their fundamental flaws in the World Series, and that's how the Dodgers kind of won. They exposed those flaws, and then from this standpoint, the Dodgers are the ones getting exposed right now. And it's something that we were saying all year could happen, and it's on full display. The Dodgers are getting thoroughly – they're getting outplayed in basically every facet of the game. And if not for, you know, the Shohei heroics in Game 3, this series would be over right now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And but nobody other than Shohei Ohtani is doing anything in this series. If Shohei's not hitting, they're not scoring runs. Even in Game 1, losing 11-4, Shohei hit the two-run homer. They would have scored two runs in that game.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the bullpen. It's the lineup, too. Only scoring when they hit solo home runs or Shohei is going off. And
there is no stringing of hits together. There's no, you know, leadoff walk to a bloop single to a blast. You know what I mean? We're not getting any of that. And I mean, hey, dude, to the Jays' credit, Vladdy Guerrero is just on an insane postseason tear. He's currently 100%. Ranked, he's got the fifth highest OPS all time in the postseason among players with at least 100 ABs. That's from 2020 to 2025, but 1.109 is that OPS. Four guys above him, Steel Arm Davis, you know who that is, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig.
I love those old school
Turkey
names.
Sternis.
Hell yeah.
From Turkey 1930 Sternis? To 1939.
Dude, my second favorite 1939 ball player, Turkey Sturgis.
Oh yeah, dude. I love that guy. What a gentleman.
Next to Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, dude. Mickey Steamboat Willie. Never
Mickey
mind.
Steamboat Willie, yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, dude, it's just, hey, credit where credit's due. I don't think anybody that's watched this series has been confused over who the better team has been over the course of these five games. It's
been
the Blue Jays.
You were watching the Dodgers if you were watching the Blue Jays right now.
Yeah.
The way that
but,
they're playing.
You know, for as much respect and glazing as we're giving those Blue Jays, hey, man, our stopgap is getting the pill for Game 6, our ace, and,
we have
one
hope right now, and it's that.
And it's a good one. It's our king.
1, 2, 3.
Let's go. Yeah, dude. Our very own Bulldog. You know I'm wearing the old Hershiser jersey. The first complete game. in World Series Dodger history since that 88 season for the Bulldog Oral Hershiser. Yeah. Our guy, Yoshi Yamagoto, taking the pill, game six, and we're going to ask him to do what he's done for us all season, but stop the bleeding, put us in a position to win a potential decisive game six to lead to a decisive game seven. Jesse, I want to take you back in time a little bit. The year is 2023. Okay. We are in the Japan Series Finals. You got the Oryx Buffaloes, the Hanshin Tigers. I might have said that wrong. But in this specific series, dude, the Buffaloes, that is Yoshi Yamamoto's team, were trailing the Tigers 3-2. And in a must-win game six, Yamamoto pitched a complete game and set a record 14 strikeouts to lead those Oryx Buffaloes to a 5-1 victory to force that game seven. So, Jesse, I think you'll recognize that 2023 was the year he would be posted and would end up ultimately signing with the Dodgers before making a magical run in 2024 to win the World Series. Now, does history repeat itself? My heart says yes. Maybe not a complete game, but maybe he goes eight. But Jess, I don't think there's a world where the Dodgers force a game seven if Yoshi does not dominate seven innings.
I mean, at this point, that's the only path forward for the Dodgers here. And, you know, you say he's not going to throw a complete game, but who are we to say he's not at this point?
Derek Jeter. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, they definitely are going to need length. They're definitely going to need him probably to pitch at least
seven.
You
need length, dude.
Yeah, I know I do, probably. just ask my wife. They need him to go deep. Just ask my wife. Sorry. Hold on a second. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah, man, it's Yama needs to be the savior here. And, you know, I know that you mentioned, yeah, that Buffalo is lost in game seven. I just want them to get to a game seven where anything can happen, because all hands will be on deck in that game. You know, it'll probably be Glasnow starting it. But Dave Roberts already said Shohei would be available out of relief. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to time it up with when his spot in the order isn't like where he'd have time to warm up. So he'll probably do some like pre-game warm-ups that day just so he's ready to pitch if needed. And Blake Snell, I'm guessing, would also be available. And who knows, maybe Yamamoto would be available on 0 days of rest. You know, who knows? But
I think I can already see how it's going to go out, man. If Ariyama does what we hope he can do and that magical game seven comes around, I could see Glasnow getting the start. I could see maybe Kershaw coming out, taking an inning. I could maybe see,
I'm telling you right now.
And then I could see Roki coming in to shut down the eighth. And then, oh, my God, maybe he's in a little trouble. And Ohtani comes out to close the game.
Here's what. There are multiple.
Vlad, bases juice, two out, one run game.
Yeah, there is, of course, a scenario where Ohtani would close the game. No question, right? This is where I don't think that's the case, is because last night was the final game of the regular season at Dodger Stadium. It was also the final home game that Clayton Kershaw would ever be as a member of the Dodgers. Mm. And they didn't pitch him in the ninth inning last night. Mm. When there was really at that point, the game was over. You know, like, I know it was 6-1. I know that you want to give your team a chance, but I thought that was a good opportunity to put Kershaw in the game, you know, just to sort of say goodbye to fans. And I know that it sounds like they're conceding loss, but they're really not. It's just like kind of a sentimental thing at that point.
Totally.
I think Kershaw is on this team right now. He's taking up a roster spot, right? They used him for one out in game three out of necessity, not because they wanted to. It was out of necessity in that situation. I think Kershaw is here for one reason. He's here to be the final out of the game when the Dodgers win the World Series. That's what I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe, because they're not using him at all. Mm. And I genuinely believe that's the only reason why he's here. Obviously, it has to be like 6-1 Dodgers or something like that for that to be the case. If it's like 3-2 Dodgers in the ninth, you're not going to see Kershaw. Like, that's just, there's no chance. But that's what I think that they're saving him for. Yeah, of course, you could see him in that game, but I do think that's what they have him on this roster for.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
So, not using him that, were you a little disappointed? Like, I was texting friends, I'm like, why not just put Kershaw in there right now? 6-1, just put him in there.
Yeah, man.
Say goodbye, you know?
I would have liked to. But yeah.
Being in a loss is kind of a bummer. I don't know.
Maybe.
I think
you got a point though. I think you're onto something there. There is a bigger.
They're not using him. He's taken up a roster spot. You know, and it kind of seems like that's the reason why they're doing it. So, Mookie's got to be better. Teo's got to be better.
Dude, we got to get my boy Kim Hae-sung on there. I need to see him get an AB. I know he's going to chip one in there. I just know it. We got to get him in there.
Honestly, like, I wish he could play some outfield, because I wouldn't mind seeing him batting ninth in front of Shohei.
Right.
You know, I'd love that at this point. I think that he's a spark plug. He has speed. He's a good defender. It sucks because I think that he's playing. He could be playing some second base. I think they're trying to keep Edman out of the outfield as much as possible. Although Edman was playing center field. He seemed fine. I don't know.
Yeah, but that
Clearly
was also
something's wrong with him, though. Clearly something's off with Edman.
That ankle's been bothering him all year. Yeah. You know, he missed some extended time with that. And he only played center field because there were some like moves that had to be made in that crazy long game, but. We got to get our guy going, dude. That's the only way. That's the only way where this is all over, Jess. Otherwise, we're coming back next episode saying what a season it was, what it could have been, you know?
Look, this is, as much as we've knocked the team, this series is not over. The Dodgers can absolutely win two games in Toronto, but, man, they have gotten their butts kicked. For three of these five games, they've gotten their butts kicked, and none of the Blue Jays wins have been particularly close, and they almost lost game three. Dodgers have to figure something out by tomorrow, because if Yama has an off day.
Look, Jesse, starting yesterday, it was a best of three series, right? Dodgers lost game one. Now they're facing elimination, just like they did in the division series last year against those pesky little brothers. And they found a way to dig it out. Do you remember that was with the irrelevant jerks in Profar, robbing Mookie, breaking his confidence? Well, just when we thought he couldn't get any lower, do you remember he hit a home run in a must-win game at his first AB in Petco to get the series back to LA? Well, I'd like to think that there's a little bit of that Mookie magic left. I think Muncy is about to dig in and maybe make a little something happen. And don't forget Mr. October himself, Kike Hernandez. There's no way that these guys, knowing that Kershaw's on his way out, are going to lay down and die the way that we've seen them fail to rise to the occasion these past two games at Dodger Stadium. They're one of the oldest teams in the league. Maybe that 18-inning game took a little bit out of them. But, hey, fear not. Our ace is on the way. And at the very least, Jess... At the very least, even if we lose, we're going out with our fucking guy on the mound, our stud, all the horses in the lineup. If you lose, you just, tip your cap and go, hey, Blue Jays were the better team. But I'm not ready to do that just yet. And, hey, like you said, we've seen this team win two games in a row a lot. And just because they're floundering right now doesn't mean they're going to be floundering on Friday.
So... Love that. Let's end here. What lineup changes do you want to see in Game 6, if any? And what do you want to see from the bullpen, like in terms of like high leverage? If Yama can only go 7, what's your high leverage? I already have my take. What's yours?
It's tough, right? If Yama can only go seven, you got to find a way to get that that eighth inning covered, right? And I think there's only one guy you can go to right now that you have the trust in, and I think it's Will Klein.
I think you use
Will Klein in the eighth to stretch to Roki.
He'll be ready for game six.
He'll be ready. So I think that's the move right now. Just going off of stuff, you saw that guy eat up more innings than your entire bullpen.
He's the nastiest reliever in this series. He has the best stuff plus in baseball.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Jesse, and that is amongst a revolution where the splitter has become the most dominant pitch in baseball. We just saw you Savage dominate with it. And hey, what's Yama's? What's Yama's pitch? Oh, it's a splitter. I forgot. Dude, what's Roki got? Oh, it's a splitter. Dude.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is all to say Will Klein, to your point, best stuff plus in the bigs. I think he's going to be crucial to game six, game seven. Game six and game seven. So that's why I see for the eighth to the ninth, if Yama is only able to go those, to get through seven.
Yeah.
But in terms of lineup changes, I agree that I think it's time to bump Mookie down, maybe in the five hole. I really like the idea of keeping that left, right, whatever. So Shohei, Will Smith, Freddie, Teo, Mookie, Muncy. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I see it. Some maybe moving Kike up to protect Mookie, maybe moving him down to be a higher on-base guy at the nine hole. It's tough. I'm not sure, but I think you keep Alex Call in there, probably batting eighth. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that the Dodgers won't do it. I think that they're not going to move Mookie down, but that's what I would like to see, and it's not because I don't have trust in Mookie. I believe that Mookie can still have a moment here. Like that just makes Dodger fans forget, but I think you just got to get your best at-bats early in this game. You got to find a way to get runs on the board early, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be super important to find a way to get to Gausman early, because I know that they can. I know the Dodgers can. They hit him hard. It's just Gausman had good results, you know? They were hitting Scherzer pretty hard. They can get to a game seven, man. Like, you know, I know that they'll probably pitch a Savage in a game seven, like, you know, in relief or something. But other than that, they don't have amazing options. If we can get to a game seven, there's a chance that the Dodgers could have a pretty good matchup in a game seven. So you got to get to Gausman early. I think you move Mookie to six. And I would consider moving Tommy to eight.
I don't hate that.
Even playing Ha-Sung Kim.
See Ha-Sung Kim get the start. Tommy's a tool that can come off the bench. We've seen him pinch hit in big spots, you know, so I don't hate that. Maybe he just needs a little blow, you know. Now I'm not talking about cocaine, calm down. I'm just talking about a breather, you know.
Have you ever been to Toronto, buddy?
Whoa, I have. It's very humid.
Yeah, you got to get some. Go to Toronto. You can get some. Just hit up Drake. You get some of that good. By the way, Drake was obnoxious on social media last night. Yeah, I hate that guy. Anyways.
Can't argue with the catalog, though. Great danceable tunes. However, as a personality, what a goober.
He's a dork. He's a dork. All right. Well, Dodgers are down 3-2. Going to game six.
It's going
to
take a bulldog effort.
In the six. It's going to take a Yamamoto effort, buddy.
Ooh.
That's what it's going to take. And, you know, I'm going to end things differently today, Brandon. I'm not going to end with our theme song because I want to end with some positivity. So let's end it on a good note. This has been Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bollinger, Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. And we've only got one word to say to you guys. Sorry.
One, two, three. Yamamoto. Yoshinobu no monomane shiteru moshinobu Yamamoto Yoshinobu no monomane.
If you stuck around with us this long, you know we love you. We're your blue collar boys.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Hey, covering it all season, off season, whatever you need. Tell your friends, hit us in the comments, and remember, never collusion, dude. Baseball's an inside job. You already know it.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.